Hello, world. This is the Mike and Abe show. And, Mike, tell me something. Am I nuts or am I nuts? I mean, you know, this guy writes an article in for Vice, and Vice they do their news on HBO, I was told. Is that correct?
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I like to say, in my opinion, you are nuts. So that was easy.
Yeah.
Second of all, I just briefly skimmed through the Vice article, and I didn't read the whole thing. I've been a bad caddy, what you tell me...
Yeah. What do I tell you?
I mean, it seems like another thing where it is perceived by most of us that there's a constant onslaught of prevailing theme in the press of Uber good, cabbie's bad, or yellow cab bad. Uber great, yellow cab bad. And I don't know if these reporters know that. And they keep writing these articles where it comes across as to the layperson that they really haven't dug deep enough into the issues. Because, I mean, with the yellow cab business for the taxi cab driver behind the wheel now, it's gotten a lot better. And then we see an article where cab's going down the drain or some words to that effect. And it's very annoying because we've worked very hard to bring this business back. In spite of a very stupid decision by the de Blasio administration to let Uber run buck wild in the streets of New York, I mean, they're getting thrown out of countries. Where is that in the article about Uber getting banned from Germany? I mean, you have a company named Uber that's banned from Germany. It would have been nice if that would have been part of the article.
Well,
and the part that Uber's being banned, the part that did it say about Kalanick getting thrown out of running the show? I mean, did it say that?
Well, the whole thing is, you know, like, it's the investors are all fighting with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
well, why are they fighting with each other?
And one of the investors is suing the other investors or something, you know.
Right.
And maybe a little later on in the show, I'm hoping Carolyn calls, you know, and we could bring her in. Because
right.
she's up on all this. You know, it's hard to keep track of this, okay? But
it's an onslaught. It's like a tsunami of stuff.
What it appears is that these people have invested billions of dollars, haven't seen one dime return in all these years, right?
And they keep talking about how it's going up, and it's like, after a while, it's like, listen, I want to go to the beach for a couple of weeks. Could you send me 10 grand? It's like, listen, I know that, but just send me some money off my investments. So when is this going to happen? And I could see where the investors are getting cranky because everybody's been on that merry-go-round where it's like, okay, listen, we know all this. It's doing great. It's doing wonderful. So if it's doing great and it's so wonderful, why can't I get out?
Well, right? You know, their stock is private. Okay, it's not on.
Yeah.
It's not on the New York Stock Exchange. It's not on the NASDAQ. It's not. It's not anywhere in the public stock markets. It's private. But shares are traded in the private market, okay? You know, all I keep reading about is how the shares have been going down, 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 down. Okay, so if you put $1,000 on a share, you know, it's worth way less than that now. You know, not only have they brought down the medallions, they brought themselves down.
You're
okay?
Right.
You know, they brought everybody down. Okay, and who's benefiting from all this? Believe it or not, the riding public who had a little bit of trouble getting a taxi, now there's 10 taxis for every passenger.
Yeah, but they can't go anywhere because there's too much traffic. That's
right.
The flip side
right.
of that.
I mean, right. Right.
So on the one hand, it's like, well, I got in the car, but now I can't move. And then you also get in the car with you don't know who's driving that Uber car. I mean, it's a portable phone. Where it's not locked into the dashboard, and it's not locked into, like, a two-way radio or a radio base per se. And a lot of these guys just give the phone to their friends. And I've seen some of these guys driving these Uber cars. They look like it's their first hour on the road. So you have a security risk, and all this stuff about, oh, protect the public, 9/11, you got to be careful. What about the Uber cars sitting in front of terminals at the airport with guys who may or may not be legal drivers, and guys who may or may not have an Uber car and are putting Uber signs in their window. So there's a lot of mess going on with the Uber thing. But getting back to the investors and the articles, It sickens me to see Uber saying they're worth $40 billion, then they're worth $60 billion, now they said they're worth $100 billion. And yet you get an investor, it's like, okay, well, okay, if you're telling me that you've tentupled the value of Uber, so just give me 10 times the money that I invested, and I'll be on my way, because I don't want to do this anymore. Like, if you invested $1 million, give me $10 million. I'll tell you what, give me $8 million, and I'll be on my way, and I'll be happy. Why can't an investor do that?
I mean, this is the craziest part. Because Uber is imploding. Okay, those are the words I've heard. They're imploding. Okay, and right. Now the investors are fighting. They're fighting with each other over things that are happening, you know, behind closed doors there. Okay, and none of them, you know, forget about what the value supposedly was. The value really is nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Their value is nothing. You know, they've ruined the entire taxi industry for themselves and believe it or not, you know, they haven't ruined it for the yellows. They've just brought it down. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I was a newbie, okay, and I never drove before, you know, I would be very careful right now about who I went to work for. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and I think anybody out there listening that's thinking about driving a taxi, you know, should know that, you know, the yellow cabs make money regardless of all of this. You know, if they can, you tell me, are you making money, Mike?
Here's the thing. I just literally took a month off, give or take. I drove part-time, but I talked to guys who were beyond the road for the last month, and they said, yes, it wasn't horrible. They said it was not a train wreck. It was okay. So, like, usually July is pretty good. But the fact of the matter is, a year, 2 years ago, the cabbies were freaking out because a lot of the business dried up. But now the tourists are coming back, and it's not horrible. And I think the only thing is with a lot of these, again, with the investors, people who have invested in medallions or are running fleets, I mean, they do have a driver crisis, but I don't really see that much incentive from these people who are not driving to get drivers. And the drivers have gone to Uber, some of them, and the problem with Uber is they get sucked into these dopey car deals and they can't get out. So it is a mess, but if you're like a cabbie behind the wheel, it's gotten a lot better, in my opinion, from what I see.
Okay. So, you know, Mike,
yeah.
Anything good to talk about?
Yeah, so everything's good to talk about. I mean, you know, arms work, legs work. I'm okay. But just in general, I can't tell you how upsetting it is to see all this doom and gloom stuff being launched at the yellow cab industry every day from people who A, aren't even in the business, B, never even drove a cab, and then they're going to get upset when you criticize them. Apparently, because you're telling them that. Say, listen, if you want to do a story, go down to TLC, get a taxi license, drive a cab. You'll see the whole story. But instead, they're doing all these stories from an investor standpoint instead of asking the cabbies and driving a cab themselves. This is the age we're living in where it's extremely discouraging to see all this stuff. My goodness.
Okay.
But what about you? How are you doing with your medallion?
My medallion's still alive.
It's still alive.
It's still alive, okay? It's still alive. It's not on life support, okay?
Right.
But it's eating less.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I feel sorry for the people that paid $800,000, $1 million, even $750,000, and you know when you take those loans out, okay,
right.
and in the beginning, you know, with the interest and everything, it takes you a long time to pay it off, okay.
Right.
So even if they bought medallions, 10 years ago or 8 years ago, okay, they were still in a lot of debt when the dirt hit the fan, okay?
Right.
You know, not to use another word, okay?
You can use another word. Fine with me.
I can say
I won't
shit.
Tell anybody.
Can I say shit?
Don't say shit. It's a family show.
Yeah, well, everybody does it, so what's the difference?
Right.
Okay.
They're lucky.
If you don't, you should see your doctor, all right?
You should see a doctor immediately.
Yeah,
yes.
But when the dirt hit the fan, I won't say shit, okay? When the dirt hit the fan, okay, there they were.
When the spit hit the fan.
Yeah, you know, especially the ones that wanted to retire, okay, and live off the income, you know, and still had this big note to pay. Okay,
right.
You know, look, if you were getting, 3,500 a month, which is what the medallion owners were getting, you know, when things were good, right?
Right.
If you were getting that much money a month, okay, and you had a $1,000 a month note, okay, on the medallion,
right.
you still had $2,400 a month that you could go towards your retirement, and with Social Security you could get by. Okay, but
right, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
But those days are over. Okay, at least for the time being. Okay, they may not
right.
be over forever. Okay, things can bounce
back. Well,
those
back, days with the Mayor right? de Blasio and his administration are over, and it's very, very telling about how horrible this has happened to the cab drivers. So exactly what you said, and this is the big Mayor de Blasio who said we have to help the immigrant community. It's like, so wait a second. You have an immigrant community that you can help driving yellow cabs who bought medallions from the city of New York, and now they're on the verge of bankruptcy. Maybe not so much the cabbie who just drives a shift and comes and goes as he pleases, but someone who invested basically in the city of New York, de Blasio comes in, and now it's a complete disaster under his watch. So he talks about the immigrant community. All I see him doing is just destroying a business that was the red carpet for the immigrant community. These cabs used to come in, they would drive a cab, then they'd buy a car and rent the medallion, then they'd make enough money to put a deposit on the medallion, and the equity on the medallion would go up, and blah, 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 so they'd be doing great. So de Blasio is the big immigration guy. What about so he means he wants immigrations here just so they can work cheap, or he wants immigrations here so they can make a living and buy a house and send their kids to college? I mean, if he's talking about he wants immigration just to throw the immigrants in the kitchen basements, that's not really a good thing. If you want immigration from people who want to buy medallions and drive cabs and buy houses, that's great. But now I'm starting to wonder what de Blasio means that we have to support immigration. If he's talking about immigration for someone working off the books and sneaking into a basement and delivering food with no equity and no skin in the game, literally, that's not really what my view of immigration is. Immigration was a guy who could buy a cab and rent a medallion and buy a medallion and yada yada. So I got to say, right now, what is de Blasio doing? I mean, his base
what is he
is
doing?
Built
that's a,
on...
That's a good question. That's a good question, okay?
Yeah.
What he's doing is he's going after electric bicycles.
Electric
okay.
bicycles.
Yeah, that was in the news this week that he's going to crack down on messengers that use electric bicycles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is
so
what he's doing.
Why is he going to do that?
Because he doesn't want to have to go after the rogue taxis that are picking up fares illegally. Okay? He would rather
right.
go after the electric bicycles. Okay?
Right.
Okay? Okay.
What's we're doing? The electric bicycle delivery guards are a pain in the ass, in my opinion.
Yeah, right.
But there's some bigger fish to fry out there that he could go after. I mean, what he should do is say, all right, you want to drive around with an electric bicycle, guess what? You got to be registered and insured. That's all. Because now you're a motorized vehicle. That's what he could say. But these electrical bicycles, they do 30 miles an hour. These guys are whipping around
well,
the city.
Well,
so do
the guys in the non-electric bicycles do 30 miles an hour.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean,
well,
those 10-speed bicycles can go pretty fast. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't have insurance, well, and they don't have license plates. Nobody knows who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when they have an accident, you know, if the bicycle still goes, they go with it. Okay?
Right.
You know, and try catching
yep.
them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, And
so,
and the
well,
other
this could be said for that. Yeah.
And the other big news is in the news this week. I mean, and this is good, but you know, it's really hiding all the inner problems, you know, with the headlines. Cops bust, I'm looking at headlines now, cops bust cash-snatching cyclist. There was some nutcase running around, you know, and this happened to me once, okay? This isn't news, okay? It probably continues to happen, but there was some nut running around on a bicycle, pulling up the taxis, reaching into the window and grabbing the cash in their pocket, in their shirt pocket.
Wonderful.
Which we've always been warned, don't keep cash there, okay? But
right.
but we do it anyway because it's just a convenient place to keep cash, all right? And
right.
There was one particular guy that's been doing it lately, there was seven or eight instances where it was reported to the police, and probably a lot more that weren't reported to the police, okay? So, New York Post mm-hmm. has it, cops bust cash-snatching cyclist. They finally got him.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay? That's good. I'm glad they got the guy, and I hope he does a very long jail sentence. Okay? Which he probably...
Oh, so they did get the guy.
Yeah, yeah. They did get the guy, right? But he probably won't do much of a jail sentence, you know, the way it works. You know,
yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
and you know, but
well,
but,
I remember cash grabbing deal was, well, I think at the time when either Koch or Dinkins, when New York was horrible, back in I think the late '80s, there was this welfare hotel on 32nd Street and Broadway in Manhattan.
I
where
remember
it used
that.
To be a nice hotel. Right, and there used to be a nice hotel right by Macy's, and the city, for whatever reason, decided to stuff the worst dregs of societies and their kids in this crazy hotel right where Koreatown is today, right by Macy's in the middle of everything. And these kids, were talking like maybe an army of like 80 or 90 kids swarming the neighborhood, grabbing and stealing, and you can't really do anything because they're all like 12, 13, 9 years old, and it was almost like... Oliver Twist, where the kids would go out and bring the money back to the crackhead mom living in the hotel, and cabbies used to be under siege all the time because there was no credit cards, and all the cabbie had was cash, and a lot of times you didn't have the air conditioning on because it wasn't mandatory, so the kids would run up to the cab at a red light, literally reach in the window, grab the cash out of your pocket just brazenly, and then you're in a situation of like, well, gee, do I want to punch a 9-year-old or a 12-year-old kid in the face for my own protection? But what do I do? So, and they were just like in packs, and this is where I don't think de Blasio is going to head it that far. But you got crazy stuff on the streets now that didn't happen for about what was it with Bloomberg and Giuliani? I mean, we haven't had this deal for 20 years
mm-hmm.
of even it being questioned of if we should crack down on this. But now, for some reason, de Blasio. I think he's afraid of offending his base one way or the other by putting criminals in jail. So this is who you're going to reelect, New York. Congratulations.
I know.
He's got about 40% swinging.
Mike, yeah. It's all well that the police caught this bicycle nutcase, okay? But mm-hmm. the point I'm trying to make here is I want to see the headline where it says, police crack down on rogue cabbies picking up street fares. That's
right.
that's the headline I'm looking for, okay?
Where you know, is that headline? Exactly.
It's not, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a congressman that, or not a congressman, a city councilman, I forget his name, but he's put up a bill to put a stop to this, okay? All right,
right.
You know, he wants to make sure that the airports are clean of all of this stuff and the streets are clean and the hotels are clean, okay?
Right.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you his name in a second, but I do have it here.
Mm-hmm.
I got to click here.
Oh, that's another little thing
yeah.
that's interesting is the apparently the crackheads and the so-called homeless, I call them the so-called homeless because a lot of them are psychotics who are just in and out of jail, in and out of mental institution. But the homeless moniker is just something that's a political out where it's like, oh, the homeless. No, no, no. You, you've, you've failed, not UA, but the city, they failed, put these people in institutions and in jail. And they just keep at this rotisserie league of wackos. And now they're sleeping at the airports. They're getting old suitcases and sleeping in the terminals at JFK and LaGuardia, making believe they missed the flight, making believe they have to stay overnight to catch the flight in the morning. But they're just nuts who are just in there with a suitcase. And now the homeless are sleeping at the airports. I mean, you got this insanity going on. You have no idea.
Okay. The councilman's name is Dan Gorodnik.
Gorodnik.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's put up
a
bill.
Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
He's a human being. Okay.
Well, I mean, I know.
You know, he's smart enough to know to see wrong and do something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care about parties anymore. Okay?
Well, I mean, that's all that
matters. No, I'm just telling you.
If it's one or the other.
I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what party they're in. It only matters what good they do. Okay?
I know. But the fact of the matter is everything is like sun rain now. So if you say it's good, the other party's going to say bad. If you say it's bad, the other party's going to
say
good.
Okay, well, let's not go there, Mike. True. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. What matters is that Gorodnik, is that how you say his name? He's sponsoring a bill to crack down on all of these cars that are stealing what should be the property of the yellow taxis. Okay.
Exactly. So, what is the bill from the top again? Since I've got a big mouth.
I don't have the bill in front of me, but it deals with all of these people that are in cars other than yellow taxis, stealing business from yellow taxis, and protecting the public. Okay. You know, against the gouging at the airports. You know, when they come out of the terminals, these guys are waiting for them right there. They even have their own office there. You know, some nuts.
Right.
You know, some of these guys where they make themselves look legitimate. Okay, and
exactly.
how much to Manhattan? $400. You know, it's $100 a person. You know, and that doesn't include tips and toll. You know, who knows what they charge? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but you know, you're waiting outside there with your yellow taxi, you know, legally, okay, to give these people a ride that's reasonably priced, okay, and they're stealing your fares, okay, and he's after them. He's after them. He's after these guys that are riding down the street with their hand up in the air, and these guys pull up and they say, "Where you go? Where you go? $35. Seven blocks.
Right.
$35. Okay."
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're doing, okay? And he's doing something about it, okay? And Mayor de Blasio is going after electric bicycles. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Well, okay? I guess that's the political that's the political animal of de Blasio. It's like, well, let's see. I might lose the electric bicycle vote, so the electric bicycle delivery vote. I guess I can handle that. So he's not worried about losing the electric bicycle delivery vote, because I'm sure 90% of them are under the radar with these electric delivery bicycles.
Right.
So that's where he thinks. So anything that's going to have anything to do with taking a vote out of his base, he's going to be scared. Because right now, let me tell you, I don't know what the lady is from Staten Island. When Nicole, the Greek lady, Nicole, nobody knows how to say her last name, but Nicole from Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
So the call from Staten Island is now up to, I think, 28% in the general election, and now apparently she's going to be the Republican frontrunner. So de Blasio didn't think there'd be any competition, but he's got all these weird things going on where people are like, hey, I'm not a Republican. I live in Democratic New York, but good old Nicole from Staten Island now has 28% of the vote, and de Blasio's stuck on like 40, 42%. Which is crazy low for an incumbent. An incumbent usually goes in New York with about 55-60%. So a lot of this weird stuff is coming back to bite de Blasio, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope it works out for the best.
Yeah. Mike, you brought up something earlier about this auction, okay?
Yeah.
You know, only the privileged people know about it, okay? Although I did see, I did see an ad on Taxi Magazine, okay, online.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But why don't we tell the people about this auction? Okay.
We'll tell the people to do some homework, because apparently there's an auction. I don't know the specifics right at my ready, but right, and ironically, it was scheduled for 9/11, which is bizarre.
Right.
But apparently there's a taxi auction of medallions of somebody, apparently, or some people apparently are losing their medallions, and they're going to be auctioned off to new people, or the existing people if they get their money up, in the beginning of September. Now, this will be very important, Nate, because for the first time in a long time, we'll see how much this crazy medallion is worth. With our little friend here writing these stories about we're going out of business, finally we're going to have an auction of medallions where there will be a price as far as how much the medallion is worth. And that, in a way, that's good news.
Well, bad news
for the person who's losing his business, but good news for...
I have posted an article on NYC Taxi News written by the New York Business Journal, okay, which mm-hmm. I could read. It says, cab drivers have changed their tune in recent years. They could download multiple apps, Uber, Lyft, Via, or Get. This is cab drivers, right, and pick up passengers in their own car rather than lease medallions from the likes of the Taxi King. I won't mention his name, okay? We all know who he is.
No, don't.
Okay? This trend took a toll on the industry, and as a result, many medallion owners went bankrupt. Okay? Some of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Many right. haven't. Most haven't, all right? Their assets right. are now available for a fraction of the price. Islip, New York-based auctioneer Maltz Auctions Incorporated announced it will sell up to 46 New York City taxi medallions next month. Cars that once belonged to a number of now bankrupt estates, including Hyponic Taxi LLC. Okay?
Right.
And I don't know who that is. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
Altogether, there will be 46 medallions up for sale, including 6 alternative fuel hybrid medallions and 6 handicap medallions. So that means 12 of those medallions are either alternative fuel or a handicap medallions, okay? Meaning that if you deduct 12 from 46, you got 34 medallions are regular medallions, okay? Unrestricted, as they say.
Right.
Each one was issued by the New York City Taxi Limousine Commission. Okay, so it says here, sealed bids are due Monday, September 11th, all right? So I don't know where you can get the information on exactly where. I did see an ad on Taxi Magazine, okay?
Uh-huh.
And let me see if I could click on this link here. Maltz Auction, it says, 46 New York City taxi medallions are on the auction block, it says. All right,
right.
That's all it says. It doesn't say where Maltz Auctions are and how to get in touch with them. Okay, but I could go to, let me go to Taxi Magazine here, okay?
Great.
That'll take me a second, just give me a second. But I did see this ad there. Go over here, click over here, and the little ball is rolling, you know.
Right.
It hasn't come up yet, okay? Oh, here it is, okay, and... If I click over here, which says index, and here it is. Okay. It's maltzauctions.com, maltzauctions.com, and you click on there, and details, click on details. It just says what will be sold, directions, contact. Here's the contact. Okay. Office number is 516-349-7022. So if you're interested in this auction, you know, give them a call. Okay, 516-349-7022. You know, everybody should be able to bid. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And right. you were concerned, Mike, that only a few privileged people that knew about this would be bidding. So we're telling people... We're giving them information that they weren't getting otherwise.
Well, exactly. Okay. That's what we're trying to do here. But at the same time, I'm just curious as far as it says something about you have to have a minimum requirements to be like to get into the place. Is that the, you have to basically show you can. You're not just going to be drinking coffee and sitting in the stands.
The top seven highest bids. I'm not gonna give out that information because I don't want to misquote it. But I did give a phone number, okay, which I'll give again, which is 516-349-7022. Okay.
What was that number again? I'm writing it.
516-349-7022. Okay.
And that was what's the name of the? It's an auction house. Right.
It's Maltz Auctions. Okay.
Maltz Auction. Got it. Okay.
Okay. So, cool. So anybody interested could just call them and they could find out all the details, which I won't give. Okay. Because I can't, I don't want to be misquoted. And I don't want to say anything that's incorrect. All right.
Right. Go straight to Maltz and they'll give you the whole scoop and they keep it simple because we're going to just, we're coming in blind in this. And like I said, this is the other thing that makes me upset is because we're trying to get information and everybody calls us and complains to us about how horrible everything is. A reporter saying, are you guys going out of business and blah, blah, blah. Then we have an auction, which is a glimmer of hope. Nobody says anything because they want to squirrel away and maybe keep the information for themselves. So we are doing it with our big mouths, telling industry there is some hope springing eternal in the early September as far as a medallion auction. Now, granted, somebody is on the wrong side of this auction where they're probably going to lose a business they've worked very hard to get. But on the flip side, it'll, for the first time in years, give us a true indication of how much this medallion is worth. Mm-hmm. And all this BS in the mass media, I call it, will finally be outed. And if for nothing else, just tell us what the medallion is worth. And I'm sure you agree with this. It's like, good, bad, just let me know. Let me know where we are, and then we can all move forward. That goes for the credit unions and the banks, because they're going to be looking at this and say, okay, well, let's see exactly how much this is worth. And I think we all will breathe a sigh of relief to know one way or the other.
Well, these medallions have evidently have been foreclosed on, and they're in the possession of somebody, some bank or something, okay? And now they're being auctioned by Maltz Auctions.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? Look, maybe the owners can go back and bid on their own medallions, okay?
Right.
You don't know. I mean,
That is a possibility. Yeah. You can bid on your own stuff being auctioned. You know?
Yeah, but you don't own it anymore legally. Okay, it's been seized.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's just like real estate. The same thing happens with real estate. But the real estate crash of the late 2008, 2010, whatever. You know, all of those foreclosures. You know, have been restructured and auctioned, okay, or sold for minimum price, okay. I bought a condo that way, okay. I paid.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Okay. I paid minimum price. Here in Florida, okay. I paid minimum price in 2013, okay, and the value has gone back to reality since then. Okay.
Okay.
So that's what I see happening with these medallions. Okay. They're being sold at minimum price to the highest bidder. Okay. All right. And the more medallions that go back on the street, the better shape the yellow business will be in, because number one, as I've been told, that everybody knows that these Uber drivers aren't making any money.
The joke's on them.
Or I should say, whatever money they're making is minimal. All right.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And
now, one thing you did that was very good when you were running a cab, you had a concern. It's not even I could say a compassion, but the bottom line is you looked at it as good business to want your drivers to make money, because then you are thinking, well, if he's making money, then I'll make money. It's that simple. You know?
Yeah, I wanted my drivers to make money. I charged them the least amount of money I could possibly charge and still pay the bills.
Right.
All right.
And I think the emphasis on Uber is Uber's worth $30 billion, $40 billion, all this mumbo-jumbo. There's very little emphasis, in my opinion, on how much the driver is going to make with Uber. And that dog has now bit. And what they keep doing is they keep trying to source cheaper and cheaper labor for Uber cars. And you got these guys living in these Uber cars. And to his credit, Matthew Das gave a fair increase to drivers and owners, but he was conscious that the drivers have to make money for a better business. I don't think Uber really has a big concern with that. Their concern is investors. And they just need people to schlep around in cars. So you're not going to get a lot of professional drivers viewing it as a full-time job. You're going to get professional drivers driving yellow cabs because you know you're going to make money. But the Uber car, the driver is just not really the best driver on the street. That's what I think. But you, like I said, come from a school of thought where the drivers have to make money to make it good for everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But the September auction is going to be very interesting to see what the medallion is worth for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Let me run down these headlines I'm looking at, which are posted on NYC Taxi News. Cops bust cash snatching cyclist. So we already talked about that. Uber driver used app to find customer's house and beat him. Okay.
Yeah.
This happened in Chicago. The Uber Lyft driver sob story. Are you a victim? Okay. It seems that this rider got into an Uber car, or every time he gets into an Uber car, he hears the driver's crying about how horrible it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular story I read, this woman was talking about how she now sleeps in her car. Okay, she has nowhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Florida man dies after punch from Uber driver. Some Uber driver punched some guy out and killed him. Right?
Right.
And then there's a taxi medallion auction. We just did that. Rogue bike sharing company set sights on New York City. In other words, they see Citibank making money with the bikes, so they want to set up their own bike stands. Okay, and probably won't get a license from the city. They're going to Uberize bike sharing, not Uber itself, but some rogue company. It says, okay, this was in the New York Post. Okay. Lyft sparks censorship fears with email asking drivers to speak to company before media. In other words, freedom of the speech does not exist with Lyft. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk to the media until you talk to Lyft. If you work with Lyft.
Oh, so they're denying freedom of speech, the First Amendment? You sign away your rights to the First Amendment?
Hold on, Mike. Hold on.
You got a call. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Carolyn. Okay, I have Carolyn here on the line, so we're going to just switch over to Carolyn. Mike does have to go do something. Carolyn, what were you saying about Uber? You know, we were talking earlier.
Well, they're not having a very good year, and especially they're not having a very good week this week, because according to the Wall Street Journal, there's a feud going on between the co-founder and one of the biggest investors, Benchmark Capital. They filed a lawsuit to try to force Travis Kalanick off the board. And that is almost unheard of to occur in Silicon Valley. For a venture capital firm to sue a founder at a startup of Uber's magnitude is the way they put it in the journal, because it can hurt the investor's reputation, lawyers say. What founder wants to take money from an investor who sues entrepreneurs? Venture capitalists want to show that they are supportive of entrepreneurs. So basically now I think you have piranhas who are eating each other, and they would all probably like to get out the door, because there were stories a few weeks ago that some shareholders were trying to unload shares onto SoftBank, and SoftBank wouldn't go for it. Now they're trying to get money from SoftBank. I mean, essentially they don't have a head anymore. They're just a giant monster running around with no head, because all their top people have left. Another guy just left a few days ago. I think his name was Rupert Graves. I forget exactly what his position was. But no, and they can't even find the CEO. How can they not find a CEO? They only have one person who's front and center for the company now, and that's Arianna Huffington, who really, I don't think, really knows anything about the rideshare business or the car service business, which is basically what it is, right?
Well, basically, she's just one of the investors that's trying to protect her money.
Right. She's on the board, and she's the face of the Kindler Gentler Uber. But the funny thing about her is, if you look her up on Google, she started a new venture after she unloaded Huffington Post, and her new venture, I think, is called Thrive Global. And what it's basically about is she has a rant. She doesn't think that people sleep enough, or I don't know how I can say this on a radio show, jay off enough. Okay, that's her shtick. Remember Johnny Carson used to say things like, you can't make this stuff up? You can't make this up. So you have the voice and figurative head of a car service company, the largest one in the world, and she's advocating for sleeping and jaying off. So when you see that Uber car just parked there on the corner, just wonder what's going on in that car. I don't know. I think it's pretty funny. They're not having a good week.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like everybody's just trying to get their money back.
Yeah, right. And you can't all get out the door at the same time. I can't imagine anybody putting more money into it at this point. SoftBank's biggest, I think, investor is the Saudi investment people. And they've already put money into Uber. So when a business is going down the tubes, what do you do when you're an investor? Do you throw some more in and try to keep it going? Do you try to get out? They don't know what to do.
well, there's a saying about don't throw good money after bad.
Right. Okay. And then remember, it turned out they lost $9,000 on every car in the leasing operation.
Tell me about that.
A lot of guys, you know, have not great credit, and they probably couldn't get a deal on a car. So Uber went into the leasing business, but that didn't work out too well for them either. They lost $9,000 in every car, and they're shutting that operation down. That's finished. The last time I went for a ride along Queens Boulevard past some of the black car rental places, there were cars parked on the sidewalks. That's how many cars they have.
Let me ask you this. Uber's biggest competitor is Lyft, right?
Yeah.
Are they
I think where we are their biggest competitor. Every ride we get, they think we're stealing it from them.
Oh, they do.
I think so. Wouldn't it be better if we were just out of the way? But we're not out of the way.
No, we're not, and we're not going
anywhere. We're far from it.
But speaking of Lyft, be it the next biggest competitor,
Yeah.
All right. Are they having the same problems as Uber? You know, like when you say that the drivers couldn't afford cars, so they set up a leasing service. Wouldn't it be the same with Lyft and Via and those other services?
Yeah, I think their drivers probably get them from some of the same leasing companies. It's funny, those car leasing companies function almost like yellow taxi cab fleets. That somebody can just go in and rent a car. I think it's by the week now, although that could change.
Right.
Maybe they'll start doing it by the day or the hour. Who knows?
So basically what they're finding out is what the yellows have graduated to over the years, they're just catching up.
Right. There's certain economics to the business, and you can't change that. And Arianna Huffington doesn't understand that, no matter how much sleep she gets. So they're in a quandary. Our problem is there's still going to be 100,000 cars on the street even after they implode or explode or whatever it is they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do with those cars. I saw there was an ad that one of those black car leasing companies is trying to entice drivers to buy lots. And they're saying, well, you can lease these cars out to other drivers. And, we'll help you find the drivers. And then you can have your own little business. So the cars probably aren't worth anything by now. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been sold like four times to four different drivers.
They have all kinds of miles on these cars also. I mean,
right,
you know, New York
right.
City taxi type miles.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Some cars, New York City taxi cabs are you know, after 40, 50, 60,000 miles, they're already worn.
Right, right.
Okay?
And the roads are in terrible shape. Worse shape
yeah.
than they've been in a long time, because I don't think they're paving enough miles every year to take care of the potholes. And then they keep ripping up stuff. You know, they're already ripping up 14th Street, you know, where the L train is. They're doing, like, exploratory surgery to see what's down there, because I don't think they know. Not all the maps are accurate. And we have a new player coming into town next week, Ford Chariot. 14 passenger vans. The drivers will be W-2 employees, paid $18 an hour. The rides are $4, and the rides are crowdsourced. So if enough people get together and say, hey, we need a route, they'll have a route.
Okay, do you see that hurting the yellow business?
It'll probably hurt the MTA more.
Right.
But my problem with it is they're registering as a black car base rather than a commuter van, which is what they are. They're commuter vans.
Well,
and you have to go through DOT, and you have a route, and, you know, you have a set number of cars or vans.
If they operate legally, you know, as a black car base, okay, then do you see any problems?
I do. Because if they were commuter vans, they would be limited in numbers. As a black car base, they could put 1 million of them on the road. They could put 10 million of them on the road. There is no limit to black car bases. You and I could open up a new black car base and put 1 million cars on the road if we could afford the cars. Yeah, that's my problem.
Of course, putting 1 million cars on the road wouldn't help us make any money.
Well, maybe we're just crazy. We're just two crazy people. We want to put 1 million cars on the road.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Uber is a crazy corporation that put 50,000 cars on the road. Okay?
Right.
And the big losers there are the shareholders and the drivers.
Yeah.
Okay?
Who's winning?
The CEO, how much has he socked away in his own personal bank account?
Yeah, that we don't know. And, I mean, people do enjoy cheap rides for the time being. I can't deny that. They do.
Can you predict the future?
No, I'm too rational.
Okay. Well,
nobody who was rational thought any of this stuff would ever happen.
But now
the golden goose for New York City. We made so much money for the city; it's ridiculous. To destroy us is stupid.
Anybody wondering will the yellow cab return as the golden goose after all of these other services? Fade away for lack of income, lack of drivers, the main people that need to make money are the drivers, because without the drivers, you could talk about your autonomous cars all day long, but I don't ever see that happening in New York City.
No, I don't either.
Okay?
No.
Okay? I mean, there's just too many things, too many potholes.
Right.
For it to survive. Okay.
Right. Maybe out in the middle of nowhere between point A and point B in a dedicated protected lane. Yeah, but then essentially you have a train. You have a little train, I don't think it's ever going to happen in New York City, because pedestrians would figure out immediately that they never have to look at traffic or obey signs or lights, because as soon as you walk in front of a car, that car will stop. All traffic will be at a standstill.
Okay, but who's going to pick up these cars when their wheels break off after all the potholes they're going to hit? Who's going to maintain these cars, the autonomous cars?
Yeah, I almost wish they would do it now and get it over with, and then you would see it's not going to work here. Just do it now. If you really think that's where we need to go, Just go ahead and do it. let's see how long that lasts.
You know, a lot of companies have invested millions and billions of dollars into this, okay, and I do believe that they've thought about all of that, and have they thought about, where it will work and where it won't work, and if they've weighed where it will work, then their investments are good, okay.
Right, in very controlled circumstances, it probably would work. You know, you're on a campus in Silicon Valley, the Google campus, going from the cafeteria to the office. I mean, it probably works okay there. But in New York City, no, No way.
Okay. Well, I could tell you this, you know, having been in Florida for the last few years, that the roads here are in very, very, very good shape.
Well, okay, yeah, you don't have the kind of bad weather that we have.
Yeah, right. Because it may work down here. Okay, all right. But but New York, every year in New York City, you know, they patch up the potholes or they pave over them, and the next winter, bingo, you know, they're back.
Right. Right? Lucius Riccio, the former DOT commissioner, did a study about that, and he has something on YouTube you can watch. He said there's a certain minimum number of lane miles you've got to repave every year. I think it might be 1,500. Sorry, Lou, if I'm wrong on the number. But if you don't hit that, then every year you're going to have more and more potholes. And I don't think we're doing enough. You can read about it in the mayor's management report. I think we repave about 1,200 lane miles a year.
It's a matter of how much money they have to do it. Okay, they don't have enough money to keep the subway cars rolling.
You know, I got to tell you, in Manhattan, I think I have it relatively easy. I was in Brooklyn and Queens in the last week, and let me tell you, those trains are slow. I was on the 5, I was on the N, I was on the Q. It was all bad. All bad. Because I guess they're doing construction. Slowed down a lot. And it's not going to get better anytime soon.
The subways are in disarray, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you were in Brooklyn. Much of the subway system in Brooklyn is on elevated lines.
Okay. Right, I was on the N train to Coney Island.
Okay, that's the N train. Is that the old F train or D train?
No, I think it's more. I think it's a different line. I think it's further west.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It went really slow. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I've ridden every
they're
subway.
They're all bad. The D train. They're all bad. Yeah. It's all bad. It's just they have to do something, but
so it's
I don't
all stop and
what
go.
It is.
It's all stop
yeah.
and go.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but I just want to add one more thing.
Yeah.
I was looking at your website, and you posted a news story.
Which
that
one?
Really somebody, maybe me or you, should post on the message board to act or not to act a regulator's question. It's a TLC post from their Twitter account. Believe it or not, the TLC has a Twitter account. And they explain how they arrive at decisions. I don't know if you read that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the other day I posted that, right? I'm looking for it right now. To act or not to act, is that the headline?
Yeah. Yeah, they say the black car sector grew from 8,000 cars in 2012 to 73,000 cars today. But, you know, you need to throw in the livery cars also.
Oh, I see it now.
So it's actually a lot more than 73,000.
Let me bring up this article and read from it. Okay, to act or not to act.
Right, they talk about their decision-making process. They say it's simple. They act when we care about as a society, when what we care about as a society, such as safety and consumer protection, will not naturally be taken care of in the market. The TLC does not act when the benefits of competitive market are likely to serve the public well. Well, it says when to act. They should act when there are externalities such as pollution and congestion and infrastructure burdens. So they should be acting now to get rid of some of these black cars because they're creating pollution and congestion and creating a burden on the infrastructure. There's no two ways about that.
Well, this is like the you know that saying, you know, closing the barn door after the horse has left.
Well, I mean,
you know, they should have acted 2.5 years ago.
Well, you know, it's interesting if you go back, and I think Mike pointed this out, and several other people have. If you go back two and a half years, and you read things that Mayor Zoshi said, Bill de Blasio said, Anthony Shouris, the then and now deputy mayor said, all these guys were for a cap. responsible legislation. We got to do something. We just can't let unlimited numbers of cars be roaming around the streets. I mean, they were very reasonable about the whole thing. And then it was just like somebody flipped a switch and it all changed. Maybe it was the Uber advertising campaign. I don't know what it was. I can't say. Nobody's ever explained it to me.
Well, de Blasio backed down on the Uber advertising campaign, and then Governor Cuomo.
Right.
You know, let me say Governor No-No.
Yeah.
You know, came running down from Albany on his bicycle.
Yeah.
Right, on his electric bicycle, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how he got from Albany to New York in 10 seconds flat, right, to New York City, right? And said, no, you must let Uber have as many cars as they want, and somehow convinced the speaker of the council to not put it up for a vote, something like that, right?
Right, and de Blasio was in Italy at that time.
Well,
he
that's very nice. Oh, he was with the Pope.
Well, it was Mike who posted it, because it was in some article that was related to his visit with the Pope, and de Blasio was saying things like, well, we don't allow, you know, giant multinational corporations to come into New York City and tell us what to do. But, of course, that's exactly what happened. I mean, the other thing is the TLC, it says here in this list of things they're supposed to take into account when they make decisions, they're supposed to take into account safety. Now, the number of crashes is doubled in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And the crashes involve black cars. They don't involve yellow cars. We have a certain number of crashes, but it's the same as it was before. The increases in the crashes and the deaths and the injuries are all coming from the black and livery segment, and black livery and luxury, I'll say.
You know, I'm surprised. I was surprised that CBS didn't report this further. But if you remember, a very well-respected news reporter for 60 Minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? I forgot his name. Was killed. In the black car crash.
Oh, yes. He was killed on the West Side Highway.
That's right.
You know what was the funny thing about him? He had been taken prisoner as a reporter, I think somewhere in the Middle East. I mean, he'd had a number of really close calls in his life, and he survived them all. And then he gets killed on the West Side Highway in a black car, I think.
I believe he used to report from the front lines in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd been in a number of tough situations. Yeah. I bet he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
And I thought at that time that CBS would be all over this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. but what stopped them? You know.
You know what else got killed in a car service car? That famous mathematician, John Nash. They made the movie about A Beautiful Mind. He was coming back from the airport with his wife, and they were in an accident. And I think they were in some kind of a car service.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say that be prejudiced and say, well, black cars have accidents and yellow cars don't, because that's not true. They all have accidents.
Yeah, but they have more accidents than we do.
it's the quality of the drivers. Okay.
Well, the level of distraction. When you're being controlled by an app, it's pinging you all the time. It's telling you where to go, how to go, how to pick up the next passenger. Then you got to look at your other phone because you're on.
You
got to
constantly.
I heard a report. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm just wondering, you're constantly taking your eyes off the road.
Right, and I got a report from somebody who drives for Uber. And this is anecdotal. He told me that last year he used to make about $1,500 a week, and now he's making $300 a week. So he's gone to the two other apps. So he's got three apps now, and he's making about $700 a week. So then he started asking me about leasing a medallion or going to a yellow garage or leasing a car from a garage for a week. He wants to do something else because he's just not making it.
Well, as we know, right now, leasing a medallion is much better than doing anything else in the city.
Right.
Okay, because the rates have never been lower. Okay.
Right.
Even going to a fleet garage and taking one of their cars out, the rates have never been lower. Okay. And I don't know what else to say.
Oh, yeah, and I saw an ad for
yeah.
a fleet. You know, you can come late for the shift, and if they have cars available, which they probably do, you just go out late, and then it's prorated. You pay less.
Well, that's the way it should be. That's the way
yeah.
it was. That's the way it was when I broke into the industry. Show up
right.
whenever you want. If we have a car, go out mm-hmm. and work. Okay?
Right.
And back
yeah.
then, we were paying. We were working on commission. Okay? And actually, we were employees. Okay?
Yeah, I remember.
They withheld taxes from us. Okay?
Right. You
and,
could even get health insurance. I remember my ex-husband had Blue Cross or something, dude.
Yeah, I never looked into that. I was too young to care. All right.
Right.
You know, that's usually the case. The young people say, "What do I need insurance for? I'm healthy." You know, but the older
right.
you get.
Right. So to drive a yellow cab
more,
is
yeah.
really simple.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
you get cash every day, you get cash tips, repairs, you don't have to worry about getting out of your lease. You're free as a bird. You can take 2-3 months off, you know, come back, slide behind the wheel. You've got cash in your pocket.
Yeah.
There's not
so
too many jobs in the world that are like that.
So if you want to, you don't want to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, show up at 9 o'clock in the morning and
yeah.
take the car out for half a shift and pay for half a shift. Okay?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
and you'll make money. You know, everybody makes money in yellow taxis. Nobody goes home empty. Okay?
Right.
That's
right.
it.
You have nothing to
it's
lose
very simple.
At this point.
You have nothing to lose. And that's what I've been telling some of the Uber drivers on their message board. Okay? And they seem to really want to get interested in driving a yellow cab. Okay? Because
yeah.
many of them, believe it or not, never did. In the beginning, they were stealing the drivers from the yellow cabs. Okay? Those drivers returned. To the
mm-hmm.
yellow cabs, most of them, okay, and then they started hiring anybody that would work for them, okay, who were newbies,
right.
okay, and never drove a yellow taxi, okay, and I believe most of the drivers out there now are those newbies who never drove a yellow taxi, and I'm addressing them and telling them, get real, there's only one real taxi in New York and it's yellow,
right,
okay.
Right, and you won't be. You truly are your own boss. You're not going to be manipulated
yeah,
like you are by an app.
Right, right. Okay, Carolyn, I want to thank you for calling in.
Okay,
Mike.
Nice talking to
Mike
you.
Mike, sort of. Yeah, Mike was supposed to call back, but you know, I think he's feeding his cat.
Oh, okay.
His cat is very hungry. He's constantly feeding his cat.
Oh, is he feeding him that recipe? I saw he posted a recipe on the message board.
He may be, okay, anyway. Yeah, I'll have to relook that recipe up
yeah.
and try it sometime.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
But thanks for calling in.
Okay.
And I want to tell everybody out there, let me just go over click here.
Thank you, sponsors.
My sponsors, the MPBOT, they have free defensive driving and wave training course instruction, online TLC application and renewal processing, legal representation at oath, Port Authority, traffic, criminal court, and experienced MPBOT staff members to work directly with the driver. So if you need any help with anything, they'll help you. Okay? And we got checker management at 1105. Well, first let me finish with the MPBOT. Call 718-784-4343 and for more information, okay? Ask for Kanchan Das is his name, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have checker management at 1105 38th Avenue, Long Island City. Okay, go in there. They got great deals with cabs, okay?
Okay.
Great shift deals, okay? 718-361-6300. Then you got WB Taxi. Lowest daily shift prices. Look at the ads on NYC Taxi News.
Mm-hmm.
Their number is 718-729-7777. And King Brokerage out in Brooklyn wants you to drive one of their wheelchair accessible cabs and earn $35,000 a year in bonuses. Okay, and this is all true.
Right.
Okay, 718-833-8110. Okay, we have Taxi CPA. He's our guy, Tony Tax. He'll take care of your taxes, 718 413-6126. And just place this week in notice. Let me take a drink of water. Excuse me. There's a notice of a class action settlement and fairness hearing in the Rothenberg et al. Versus Douse et al. When Matthew Douse was, who happens to be a really great guy. You know, don't take this personally, Matthew. I know you don't. Okay, but you were TLC commissioner when this lawsuit was put in place.
Right, that was two commissioners ago, right?
Yeah, right. And right, what this is about is they were revoking licenses of drivers who got DWIs in
not
private
cars. Not
when
they were
cars.
Driving a cab.
Not,
in
not
cars,
when they
yeah.
were right. Not when they were driving a cab. So. Yeah. There has been a settlement, okay, and if you're
right.
one of those drivers, the information mm-hmm. here is on NYC Taxi News. Click on the notice that's on the front page, and it'll take you to a PDF page to read what you have to do to get your money, okay? And all of these ads
right.
on
NYC... I think I saw
NYC
that it's on the top right.
Top
right.
right
of your homepage, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, and I made that little box, okay? I'm very good at this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, all right. And all of these ads that you see on the front page of NYC Taxi News, just click on them, and it'll take you to the website of those advertisers. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Go yellow. Go yellow. It's the best way to go. And Carolyn, thanks again. And I want to say goodbye for Mike, who had to leave. And thank Carolyn for coming on. And tune in to NYC Taxi News, the Mike and Abe show, and Taxi Dave will be on tonight. Okay? He's been off for a couple of weeks. All right? Thanks
okay.
to the Mets losing. All right? They
right.
lose all the time.
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And okay. we'll see you guys again next week. And Carolyn, you know you're invited to come on the show anytime you like.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you for doing the show. You make me laugh, and you are very informative.
Okay.
Very important.
All right. Okay, bye everyone.